In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
The Gospel of the fourth Sunday of the Holy 50 days, the Lord speaks about Himself being the light of the world. And He says about us also, when we walk following Him, that we will become also children of the light. And in order for us to understand what does it make, what the difference that happens if we walk in the light and we turn to become children of the light. Five areas the light of the Lord will shine upon and will enlighten us to be able to understand and comprehend. Another thing also that we will be talking about today, how we can receive this enlightenment. And the third and the last point will be about what are the warnings that those who are enlightened should heed. First, what will happen when God's light shines within us? The first thing that we will come to know and understand, and our eyes will be open to see, is the work of God in our lives. Many people stumble and say that, where is God? What He is exactly doing in our lives? We cannot see Him. Sometimes evil people deny His existence because their eyes are blinded and they cannot see Him working in everything around them. A good example of this kind of enlightenment, we see it in the book of 2 Kings, when the troops of the king of Aram came and seized Elisha. He was able to see, but his servant Gehazi was not able to see. That's why he was frightened. And when he started to call upon his master to arise and see that they are in extreme danger, we hear Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The difference between Elisha and his servant is the difference between a person who is enlightened, his eyes are open, he can see God and understand His works, and another person who is not there yet. The first thing that God will shine upon us, He will shine in our hearts and open our eyes to see Him and understand how He works in our lives. The second area is the Scripture. When the light of God will shine upon us, we will be able to understand His commandments and value His precepts and statutes. Again, sometimes we look upon the Scripture and we wonder what God wanted from us. What did He mean? Sometimes people look at the Bible and they see nothing. Their eyes are totally blinded and they cannot understand the words of God or come to value His precepts and statutes. That's why also we hear King David speaks and prays to God saying, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. It's not enough that just we see, but it's something for our prayers that God will open our eyes so we will see Him in the Scripture. We will be able to understand His laws and commandments, and we will be able to follow His precepts, knowing that this is the way of us to attain freedom. When our eyes are blinded, we think of the Scripture as chains that's around our hands. We hope that one day we will be exempt from the commandments of God. Then we can enjoy life and enjoy freedom. This is when our eyes are blinded and we cannot see, when we are still in darkness. But when God opens our eyes, by then we will be able to understand and comprehend and value and follow, and knowing that this is the way of life. So the first area, that when God enlightens our eyes, then we will be able to see Him and understand His works in our lives. The second area, that we'll be understand His commandments and value His precepts. The third area, we will be delighted in the hope of our calling and the glory of the inheritance that is prepared for us. This is exactly what St. Paul meant and said to the Ephesians when he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This is when our eyes will be open to see heaven and to value eternity. When we cannot see beyond the contemporary world that we live at, then we get consumed into how we can gain more. How can we acquire positions? How can I make sure that my share is not touched? And we go into all of these kinds of struggle and distraction simply because we cannot see it, the hope of our calling and the inheritance prepared for us. It's a major part in the life of those who are enlightened that they can see heaven and they can look up and they can see what's prepared for them. The more we receive the light of God, the more we look up, the more we are to ourselves, the more we are blinded to heaven, we are just consumed into looking into the earthly things and the things that is going to perish. So the first area is we understand God and see His works in our lives. The second area is the scripture. The third one is that we will be able to see and be delighted in the hope of our calling. The fourth area, we will be able to see ourselves clearly with the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Many times we are blinded to whom we are, why we do what we do, what are our motives. We have the impression that we are godly and we are righteous and we are good enough and we do not need to change. Maybe the world around us need to change to accommodate us. Maybe if the people will do something different, we will be able to live a peaceful life. And we are totally blinded that the change need to start from within. It is me that I need to see. It is me that need to change. It is me that really wants to look inside, not to look outside, and being totally blinded on whom we are. It's a major part into the life of those people who walk in the light that they are able to look inside. That's why those people come frequently to confession. Every time they look inside and they see something that's dark, something that's not pleasing to God, they are troubled with it and they come to expose it to the light. Their eyes are so much focused within, not on the people around them. The fifth area where God's light will shine, when it will shine in us, will be able to see, is that we will accept and love one another. St. John says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that's why he says, whoever hates his brother is still in darkness. Why? If God opens our eyes, we will see His image in others. We will understand. We will excuse the weaknesses. We will be able to accept others as God accepted us. When still our eyes are not there yet, then the other will be the enemy, the cause of trouble. I wish I navigate in my life on my own. I love the church, but I hate the people. I wish that I come to church and do not greet anyone. Just come and take communion and go out hastily. My brethren, when we are in the light, we will see in everyone, no matter how this person is causing us trouble, we will see in him the blood, we will see in him the value that God gave, we will see in him the image of God that he bestowed upon this person. In these five areas, when we are enlightened, we will have different understanding. We will be able to understand whom God is and what he is doing. We will be able to see his commandments and value his precepts. We will be able to see heaven and be delighted in the hope of our calling. We'll be able to see ourselves clearly, and also we'll be able to accept others. How, the second point, how can we receive the enlightenment? We see and we understand from the scripture, first of all, it is through the sacraments. It is the sacrament. There is something mysterious that happens when a child is baptized. His eyes are opened. This is exactly what happened with the man born blind. He only received his sight after he obeyed the command of the Lord and he went and he washed in the lake of Siloam. It's a gesture that we need to work with God, and through the sacrament of baptism, our eyes will be enlightened and we can see. Another hint also was done when the two disciples were traveling to Emmaus. Those two disciples were wondering, they were not able to see the Lord walking with them. Now we read that. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Only when he broke the bread, when he was about to give them the sacrament of the Eucharist, then they would be able to see. It is through the sacraments, and we know that every sacrament is preceded by repentance. We receive enlightenment also through the Word of God. King David says in Psalm 19, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Away from the commandment, there is no way we can see the light. Knowledge is not enlightenment. I can read the books of the world. I know them by heart. This will make me knowledgeable, maybe wise according to the standards of the world, but to be enlightened, I need the Word of God. The third point, how can we receive the enlightenment, is when we always look at Him. King David says, they looked at Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. We look in Him in prayer. We look in Him when we turn and wait, when we deal always with Him, even in any transaction that we have with others. Moses looked at Him. In a fellowship with his Lord at all times, he received this enlightenment. Not only his face shone, but also his heart received this enlightenment that made him the meekest man living in his generation. It is through this relationship, always looking at Him, then he received this light, even apparently on his face and inside his heart. So we receive enlightenment through sacraments and with the preceding repentance, with the Word of God, and when we always look at Him. The last point, there are two warnings that those people who are enlightened should heed at all times. First one, that we ought to be always watchful for holiness. We receive enlightenment, but we have to keep holiness in order to always live enlightened. St. Paul warns the Hebrews when he says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. It's something that fearful, that after we receive enlightenment, we come to know Him, then we grow slack and we let the enemy deceive us and we fall away, and by then we will lose this enlightenment. The second warning, we hear it in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. When God warns the shepherd, any person is in the place of responsibility. When He says, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock, a sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither and his right eye shall be totally blinded. Why this warning is for the shepherd? For his right eye and his right hand. The shepherd is entrusted over watching his flock and protecting and guiding them with his rod that he holds in his right hand. If I'm not making use of the talent that's given to me to serve others, then I don't need them anymore. Then his right hand will be withered and his right eye will be blinded because I am not taking care of those people entrusted to me. Every one of us is a shepherd wherever he is, in his household, in his community. Wherever I go, I am entrusted over others. If I am not looking after them, then I do not need the talents given to me. By then, I will lose my enlightenment, and I will not be able to guide because my hand will be withered. These two warnings we have to keep in mind in order for us that after we receive enlightenment, we keep it always to the end, to His coming. To Him is the glory forever and ever. Amen.